Amazon sets this year's Prime Day. AirTags get their first major update. The website that will buy your old gadgets for cash, even if they're broken. Plus, your tech questions answered. What's going on? I'm Rich DeMuro, and this is Rich on Tech, the podcast where I talk about the tech stuff I think you should know about. It's also the place where I answer the questions you send me. I'm the tech reporter at KTLA Channel 5 in Los Angeles. Hope you are having a fantastic day. We are into the summer. Woo! I don't even know. Is it summer just yet? I don't know. I mean, you could be listening to this next year for all I know. Or you could be listening to it last year if you're a time traveler. That would be interesting. But you probably wouldn't be listening to a podcast. You'd be so rich that why would you be listening to a podcast? I mean, seriously, you would be on an island somewhere living off your Bitcoin if you sold it right before the giant Bitcoin dip of 2021. You'd be much smarter than me. Let's see. So I was going through my, I'm on this quest, you know, to kind of clear out my Google Drive, get things organized, get it all backed up. And it is quite the process. Everything's the process, right? As we acquire more tech and digital stuff. But I was going through my drive and I found I went through and like did a search for all my old audio files so I can finally get them into one place. Of course, I had like hundreds of duplicates. Like these files are just duplicated. 1, 2, 3, 4. Like I have this thing where I can never like just delete stuff. I always have to like make a copy of it just in case before I delete. There's like a backup. And that makes all these extra files. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that I found a whole bunch of old files that like, if you've been listening to the podcast for a long time, they've all had their place in the podcast throughout the year. So like this one, I don't know. These were like, this was like the music that I would use for like the end of the show. Sounds like you're in like a nightclub. What about this one? You know, I'm obsessed with radio. I've always loved radio my entire life growing up at Z100 New York. And it's just like all radio sounded like this back in the day. You're listening to WHTZ Z100 New York. And then like this kind of stuff, like all these little, like this was the one I always wanted. Drum roll, please. Yes, we have the new winner of the Amazon Echo. Say hello. How about this one? Like all this kind of stuff, like you are tuned in to the world's leading broadcaster from the top of the Empire State Building. And then this was my intro.
Now initiating Rich on Tech.
This was from DJ Ski. He made a couple of intros for me back in the day. And then this, if you remember, was the original intro to the podcast a long time ago. Not the original, but it was definitely one of the, there's been many, is it permutations? I don't know how you say that word. I always say that a lot. Someone should do a clip of me saying, I don't know how you say that word. Why did I grow up not knowing how to say words? You know, I grew up in New Jersey where, I'm not kidding, I called a drawer a draw until I got to college. And I'll never forget, I told my roommate who was from Torrance, and I was like, hey, can you open that draw? And he's like, what? What are you talking about? Draw. Yeah, open that draw. Go take a look at yourself in the mirror. The mirror? What? Let me have a glass of water. I mean, literally the things that I said, and it's ironic that I become a broadcaster because the way I spoke for so long was just everything was wrong. And a lot of it still is, which is, you know, that's just who I am. Like I still say button and everyone's like, isn't it button? Button? Take a left at the fountain and then press the button. You know, this is who I am. I'm from New Jersey. It's like just the way I grew up. But the ironic thing is going to USC was pretty good for me because I'll never forget literally sitting down in a circle with a whole bunch of people in my dorm room freshman year. And they would just like, I was like this weird specimen, right? Like I'd just be this weirdo from New Jersey that they were like, so how do you say this word? And I'm like, Oregon. And they're like, no, it's Oregon. And I'm like, okay. And we'd go through like for like an hour. Anyway, I digress as I generally do. Let's talk about, I guess I'm not going to go with the top story of the week right now. I'm going to go with what I think is a really important and fun story. We did it on KTLA today, and it's a website that will pay you cash for the gadgets laying around your house. Now, I know there's a bunch of these websites like Gazelle, Swappa, Glide is another one that I used to talk about a lot, but I guess they're back. They were gone for like a while, but, and Gazelle even was gone for a while. Like they weren't doing it. But anyway, so when I heard about this website, Gizmogo, I had never heard of it before. And I was like, huh, that's, I mean, it's rare that I haven't heard of something like that's, you know, in a main space like gadget refunds. And I think what's happened with a lot of these gadgets is that people sell them back to the carriers, and people sell them back to Apple. But the reality is there's three levels of getting rid of your old gadgets. Number one is if you just have old gadgets that kind of, you don't want to throw out in the trash because they are, you know, they're bad for the environment to throw out. That's like an old, a super old device that's worth like almost nothing, right? Like $10, $5 or zero. That's one level. Then you've got the next level where, you know, it's worth something and you can trade it in and get some good cash for it, which is generally like if you have last year's iPhone, you want to upgrade to the new one. And then there's this middle ground of just like a bunch of random stuff that you might have, like an older phone that's like, it's not really not worth anything, but it might be worth something. So anyway, that's where this website comes in. Now, you know those levels of selling stuff. So you're always going to get the most with what I call a person-to-person exchange or sale. So the best way to do it is to sell it to a friend, right? So if you put on Facebook, hey, I've got this old iPhone, here's how much I'll sell it for, you're always going to get the most from a friend or a family member because you're doing the transaction in cash, you're not paying any fees, you don't have to pay transaction fees, PayPal fees, whatever, right? That's always the best way. And, you know, you feel good knowing that it's a family member or friend that's getting it. The next way is eBay. You're always going to get a good amount on eBay and you've got a national audience. So you can sell to anyone in the US. You may think your iPhone 5 is, you know, worthless, but there's someone out there that may have an iPhone 5 hooked up to their telephone system to pipe in music for their, you know, their hold music for an office or something. You know, you just never know what these situations are. And so that's another good way. And then you have the middle way, which is like Gazelle, Swappa, and this new one, Gizmogo, which are going to give you more cash than, say, trading it into the carriers. The carriers usually give you the least amount of cash because, you know, it's a volume transaction for them. They're just kind of doing it as a courtesy, and then they don't really care about the transaction. They just want to get you into a new phone on a new 24 to 30 month contract or whatever you call it, payment plan. So they're just doing this to make it easy for you to like not have any barrier to entry. So they're not going to give you the most, but it's going to be fine. And then sometimes they run deals like Samsung often when a new phone comes out will give you a little bit more, or Apple or any of these companies. They'll give you like a little bit more, T-Mobile, Verizon, AT&T, just because again, they're trying to get you to upgrade. Anyway, all of that is said that when I heard about Gizmogo, I was like, huh, I never heard of them. And then it turns out they're in Chino, which is a nearby city in Los Angeles, probably like an hour away maybe. And so I was like, can I visit and see the operation and see how these things work? And sure enough, they said, yeah. And so I went down there and oh my gosh, the amount of gadgets that were in this warehouse was just wild, just stacked to the walls or stacked to the ceiling, I should say. And so they do two things. They do like mass recycling. Like let's say you're Target and you're upgrading all your point of sale systems. You'll just ship all your old ones to this company. They may give you a little price for them, or, you know, I don't know how they do it, but you know, they must either charge you or they'll just take them for free. And then they'll reclaim the metals out of these things and recycle them properly, because there's a whole business in that. And then the consumer side of things, they'll take your electronics. And so the electronics they'll take is basically, you know, laptops, tablets, let's see what else, computers, gaming consoles, cameras, lenses, drones, smartwatches, even iPods. And the website gives you an estimate. And, you know, I did not tell, I was a little sneaky on this story because I went to Gizmogo. It seemed great. You know, they led me around, showed me everything. But then I said, you know what, since I haven't heard of this company, I just want to make sure that it works the way they're telling me. And so after I got back, I actually took my kid's old iPad. He had an iPad mini that the screen was cracked. It was sitting in my garage. I had done previous estimates. It said it was worth about $30 on one of these other websites. And so I was like, eh, it's not really worth my time. And so I put this on Gizmogo and they said, we'll give you $80. I was like, wow, okay. They said they would pay top dollar. And sure enough, they did. So I sent it in. And GizmoGo kept asking, hey, when's this story airing? When's this story airing? And I kept like putting them off because I was waiting for this iPad to come through and get my money. And so I wanted to see as a regular person. I didn't want to tell them that I was doing this because, you know, then they would go find the iPad and kind of fast track it. I wanted to see what the average person would go through. So sure enough, in about a week, and it was over a holiday weekend, I got my $80.55 in my PayPal account. I was very happy. The whole process worked out as they promised. And now I can recommend GizmoGo, G-I-Z-M-O, like GizmoGo.com. They take it all. And it's a great process. It's pretty quick. They'll pay you via PayPal. And I guess it'll be my new place to get rid of old stuff if I need to. And you can even send in stuff. Like if it's totally worth nothing, just send it to them and they'll get it properly recycled, which is also really nice. So you can see the story on my website, richontech.tv. Look for the cash for old gadgets story. And there you go. Don't throw stuff in the trash. Batteries and old electronics. Do not do it. Not good for the environment. All right, Terry has a very long question, but I'll try to paraphrase it. But she says, I just watched you recommend two USB drives to download photos from Android to the USB and then download the photos from the flash drive to a computer. I have a similar situation. I want to transfer all my text messages. I purchased a Samsung Duo Type-C flash drive, no problem downloading the text onto the USB. But Samsung only allowed a very small sample of text that could be viewed. I was told I would need to purchase Droid Transfer to download them to my laptop. You identified two drives. Will they handle these texts? And it just goes on and on. But the reality is, so Droid Transfer is a paid service. You do not need it. You do not need that program. You don't need to pay at all. The program that will do this all for free is called SMS Backup and Restore. SMS Backup and Restore. It's been around forever. It's gone through a couple of owners. It is completely free. They do have a paid version. I'm not sure what that does. I think I paid for it at some point. It might be like $4.50, maybe no ads or something. But you can easily use that to back up your SMS messages on an Android. Now, on an iPhone, yes, it gets a little trickier, but you're not talking about iPhone. Apple, you know, good old Apple, they like to lock things down. So just accessing your text messages, the things that you have created on your phone is, oh my gosh, it's so tough. I'm a tech person and I can't figure it out. Yes, there are some apps like Samsung Smart Switch and OnePlus that will tap into your iPhone and bring those messages over to your new phone sometimes, but it is really, really tricky. And for the average person that just, you just want to see your texts in your Google Drive, it's nearly impossible with the iPhone. Yes, there's a bunch of software that can do it. It's a weird file. It's a weird format. And it's just the way Apple rolls. And so with iPhone, yes, it's a lot tougher. And people tell me all the time, hey, Rich, you know, I would like to restore or download my messages from iCloud. I'm like, yeah, not going to be able to do it. To restore them from iCloud, you have to literally format your phone and start fresh. And that's the way you have to back them up from iCloud. And then on, you know, if you just want to download them, like just have a nice like backup of your text messages. Oh, good luck with that. There's really no app even on the iPhone that can easily do that. And I say easily because someone's going to email me and say, Rich, you can do this. No, no, no. It's not easy. Like, I'll be honest, you know, I'm a tech person. I look at this stuff all day long. I'm always looking for simple solutions. SMS Backup and Restore is totally simple and easy. Sorry, that's my producer or my editor texting me. So hold on. Let me text him back and say, cool. Oh, gosh. Remember the days when you weren't interrupted every 2 seconds with something? But it just happens, you know? So anyway, where was I? That's the program. Since you said you're on an Android, SMS Backup and Restore is the program to use. It will work easily. If you have a solution for the iPhone that's simple, easy, and you know, for your messages, tell me. I don't think there is one. It's just Apple likes to make things really complicated because guess what? It keeps you in the Apple ecosystem. You know your messages are in iCloud somewhere. You just don't really know how to access them very easily, and neither do I. And so you can't just go on iCloud.com and say, hey, download my texts or my iMessages. You just can't do it, as far as I know. And Apple will continue to make things tricky for us. I think they're getting better. Honestly, I'm not trying to knock Apple. I think that it was the way their system was built to be safe and secure, like with respect to text messages. They don't want a bunch of apps because every app would love to tap into those, right? So it used to be on Android, like every app can just access your messages, no big deal. But it becomes this security issue because there's a lot of information in those messages. And so by having every app read them can be a potential security issue. So Apple says, well, let's lock them down. But they need to make these things a little bit easier because they have them locked down. But give us a simple way to kind of get the information when we need it, right? Especially for something like a simple backup that's not iCloud. All right, I'm done with that. All right, let's talk about Prime Day. This is happening on June 21st and June 22nd. The headline says, 2 days of epic savings on more than 2 million deals globally. Oh my gosh, this is so big. And this is when I need my little bump, bump, bump sound effect that I don't have. Prime Day will feature can't-miss deals from top brands like Levi's, iRobot, Samsung, and Redken. Oh my gosh, I got to get that shampoo I've always wanted at 10% off. So and they're also pushing small businesses because, you know, Amazon gets a lot of hassle for being, you know, putting small businesses out of work. But, you know, they do support a lot of small businesses in the fact that any of them can sell on Amazon. Whether that's a nice process, I don't really know. I know, whatever. So it's happening June 21st, June 22nd. I'll be honest, I always think that Prime Day is kind of a letdown. And I'll just give you my two things that I do on Prime Day. Number one, I kind of stop buying big things on Amazon until Prime Day. I just put them in my cart. And if I need something, I'm not talking $10 things. I'm talking like, you know, right now I've got this whole push to buy like these Hue light bulbs, right? And so I'll put those in my cart and I'll just let them sit. I've got a Synology network attached storage system just sitting in my cart. I've got a hard drive that I want, 10 terabytes just sitting in my cart. So I will sit those things in my cart. And then on Prime Day, I will see if the prices come down. And if they do, I'll buy. If not, then I'll just, you know, move on with my life and purchase them at some point. That's really, I think, the best way to approach Prime Day. If you're sitting there just looking for stuff to buy, it's just like, it's like a whole effort, right? So put the stuff that you want to buy in your cart and then on Prime Day, the 21st, 22nd, see if it's on sale. That's my number one advice. Number two, there's a couple of things. All Amazon products. So if you're in the market for anything from Amazon or Ring, like an Echo or a Ring, you know, lights or anything from Ring, just put it in your cart. The price should drop. Amazon devices go on sale during Prime Day big time. So that's the best time to buy those. Right now, there's two deals you can take advantage of. Three, really. Starting on Monday, June 7th through Sunday, June 20th, you'll get a $10 credit to use on Prime Day if you spend $10 on select small business products in Amazon store. So they will have, I believe it's amazon.com/supportsmall. And so you can look for that if you want to get a $10 credit, or you can do a $10 promotional credit now through June 20th. If you purchase $40 in Prime branded Amazon gift cards, you can get a $10 gift, a promotional certificate to use on Amazon. So, oh, wow, interesting. So the one gift card is sold out. So there was two gift cards. I actually think I bought the wrong one. I did this and I think I got taken because you have to buy the Prime Day e-gift card and or this Prime card that came in a tin, which I didn't get. So I bought the e-gift card, but I just bought an Amazon gift card, like a standard one. It was not the Prime gift card. And I don't think that I actually purchase the one that qualifies. So little fine print there. And with a lot of these things, you know, you always have to follow directions perfectly to get the free money. I think I did it wrong. So if you do it, just make sure that you buy the Prime Day e-gift card for $40. You can apply it to your account and then you should get a $10 gift card after that. All right, let's get to the next question. Paul says, hey, Rich, my iCloud storage is full. I only have 484 photos and 10 10-second videos. I saw there's a way to add storage with a cloud without a monthly fee. You also mentioned an iPhone flash drive that goes into the charging port on my iPhone 8 Plus. Is Best Buy the best place to go now that the death of Fry's has happened? A couple of things to unpack here, Paul. I can't believe your iCloud storage is full with only 500 pictures and 10 videos. But, you know, it happens. Is there a way around adding cloud storage without the monthly fee? So I wouldn't typically recommend this, but because you don't have that much stored in the cloud, maybe you can just look into getting a different account. Like maybe start Google Photos and just put your videos and photos in there, and that will clear up your storage in iCloud. That would be free because I bet you'd be under the 15 gigabytes because now that's all they give you. You can go with Amazon if you have Prime. You can go with Amazon Prime Photos. You can put them there, and that's free. And you get 5 gigs of videos, which I think your 10-second videos would be under, so you can do it that way. Or you can open up a OneDrive account and put them in there, and you do get 5 gigabytes there. That's Microsoft OneDrive. Now, typically, I would say just, you know, if I was recommending for you, I would pay the, I think it's 99 cents for 50 gigs on iCloud. I would recommend doing that. It's $1 a month. I know you don't want to pay the monthly fee, but, you know, it is a buck, and I bet you spend a buck somewhere throughout the month. That's not like, oh my gosh, a big return on your money. So I know it's $12 a year. It's not the answer you wanted, but it just makes life a little bit easier. And since it doesn't sound like you are spending a lot of or using a lot of storage, I think you should be okay for a long time with that 50 gigs. And you're asking about the flash drive. I mean, by the time you spend $40 on the flash drive, $40 to $50, you know, that could pay for like 3 years of the cloud storage on your iCloud. So that's what I would go with. I think that would be the simplest, easiest way for you to do that. And that's what I'm going to say. All right. Well, Apple is already doing kind of the first big update for the AirTags. According to CNET, they are going to add a little bit, a little more security to these things, especially for Android users. So number one, let's see. So the whole thing about these AirTags is that, and by the way, these things have been around for a month now, and we haven't heard one major like, oh my gosh, like this stalking situation happened because of AirTags. We haven't heard any of that. And the only thing I've seen is that, you know, everyone I've talked to is just thinks these things are amazing because you clip them and you forget about them. And when you need them, they're there. And I think they're pretty amazing. I've got one on my keychain, and it's just like one of those things that's just, okay, you know, you just know it's there when you need it. And I think a lot of people feel that way. And yes, there are some privacy concerns, so Apple is addressing those. Number one, it used to be a couple of days before an AirTag that was kind of clinging on to you would play a sound. Now, they're going to play a sound anywhere between 8 and 24 hours of it being kind of around you. And Apple's not giving you the exact time because they don't want people to plot around that, right? Like if they knew it was 8 hours, they would do their nefarious measures in 7 hours before the thing dinged, right? So they're not going to say when this thing's going to buzz. Then Apple is developing an app, according to CNET, for Android devices that will help people detect an AirTag that's traveling with them. And so the iPhone obviously has this built in, but Android will be released later this year. Now that's kind of weird though, because, you know, what? So every Android person now has to download this app to keep AirTags from stalking them. Like it's kind of weird, right? So it's not a perfect situation. It's not a perfect solution, but it is one solution in one way that if you are kind of a little bit paranoid about these things, or you're in a bad situation and you just worry about this, then yeah, you can get this app on your phone and hopefully, you know, look, is it going to stop all instances of stalking or whatever? Probably not, but it could help. And it just, I think it's more for the user to feel better knowing like, okay, well, I'm on an Android, so I'm kind of left out of this whole Find My situation, but I can put this on my phone and feel a little bit better knowing that I will be able to detect these things if they happen to be near me. All right, Kiki from California says, "Hey, Rich, I love your show. It's so informative and a source I can trust." Well, thank you. "Just wanted to know if there are any reputable, trustworthy sites that offer free Microsoft Office software downloads, not an introductory offer, free lifetime. I lost my job to COVID. I had to buy an inexpensive computer to search for jobs. It doesn't have any software loaded, and I need Microsoft Office. Can you help? Thank you, Kiki in California." Kiki, well, I'm sorry to hear about you losing your job due to COVID. I'm sorry. I know it happened to a lot of people. But the good news is there are a lot of jobs out there right now. So hopefully you'll land on your feet. And it sounds like you spent your money on this computer, which, you know, is a good step. I'm glad you got that because you need it in today's day and age to look for a job. But this Microsoft Office situation, I think that, and I get this question a lot, which is kind of odd. You don't need it. You don't need Microsoft Office. Now, if you have it or if you have access to it, it's amazing. It's great. Like, I love it. I mean, it's, I don't use it personally. I mean, I use it for work. We have, you know, our company does have a deal with Microsoft to use Teams and all the Office 365, and it's fantastic. In fact, one of my favorite features on Word that you may not even know about is the transcription feature. You can upload basically, as far as I can tell, an unlimited amount of audio to Microsoft Word, and it will transcribe it word for word, and it's pretty phenomenal. It'll even put time codes and stuff, I think. It's really good. I used it a couple days ago twice for two different little things I needed, and it worked perfectly. Oh, actually, I'll tell you what I used it for. This is embarrassing, but I'll tell you what I used it for. So I've been listening to Bobby Flay and his daughter, Sophie Flay's new podcast. What's it called? It's something about food. I don't know what's cooking. I don't even know what it's called. Let me see what it's called. What is it called? It is recently updated. Where is it? Oh my, how embarrassing is this? Oh, Always Hungry. That's what it's called. So I've always loved Bobby Flay. I don't know why. Like, I just always have loved Bobby Flay. And so when he came, you know, and his daughter is a reporter here in town. And so I followed her for a while. She's a really cool kind of this new age reporter that, it's like they call them MMJs, where they shoot their own stuff, but they take it even a level further. She is just focused on a single area of LA. And I think it's like either Echo Park or Silver Lake, or it's like one of the cool like neighborhoods, you know? And so she just literally like, you know, goes around and like finds cool new restaurants opening, things that are happening in the community. And she does it all herself. Like, she produces, she edits, whatever. She puts it on air, I think, on social media. Anyway, so I've been following her. And then when I saw that, you know, they have a podcast, I'm like, oh my gosh, of course, easy listen. And I've just loved every episode. They just talk about one type of food each episode, and Bobby gives kind of his tips on how to do it and his thoughts. Anyway, long story short, Bobby mentioned one of his favorite bakeries in Los Angeles, and he said it really quick, and I was in the car, so I just told Siri to, you know, remember this name of this bakery, but the way I said it, I totally butchered it. Like, I didn't get the right thing. And so I was like, how in the world am I going to find the name of this bakery? I'm not going to listen to the whole podcast again. And for some reason, Apple, if you're listening, can you make a bookmark on a podcast? Just can you please give us the ability to bookmark a spot in a podcast? It would be such an easy thing, right? You're listening in the car, they say something interesting, you bookmark it, and you come back to it. I mean, why is that such it's such a winning feature. Just please, someone come up with that. So anyway, so I couldn't bookmark. I was like, okay, how am I going to find this without listening to the entire podcast again? And it occurred to me that I could transcribe the entire podcast using Microsoft Word. And so I downloaded the podcast. I uploaded it to Microsoft Word. It gave me a transcription within like, you know, a minute or two. And I searched for the word bakery. And sure enough, I found the bakery. And I will tell you what the name is. It's Tartine, T-A-R-T-I-N-E, Tartine Bakery. So next time I'm in Santa Monica, I will have to go to Tartine Bakery because that's the one that Bobby said is his favorite. And so they also, by the way, have locations all over the world. They have them in the Bay Area, Los Angeles, and then Korea. So yeah, interesting, right? So that was a long story, but I got to say, I mean, it was just such a brilliant, this is why I'm so happy that you listen to a podcast like this, not to hear me drone on and on about all this stuff, but it's all about building that base of knowledge in your head. You may say, Rich, you're going on and on about this transcription feature. Well, yeah, until the day comes that you need something like that. And then you go, oh my gosh, I remember Rich talking about that. And that's why we do stuff like this. That's why we enrich our brains with knowledge. And yeah, you may say, I'm not a tech person, I'm not a this, but like, you may be at work and someone says, oh, I got this whole big thing, this interview I did with someone, and I got to find this one thing that they talked about. And your light comes on and you say to your boss, like, I can do that. I can find where he referenced Tokyo. And you're like, really? in the this hour long thing that I talked to him in, oh yeah, I can find Tokyo. Let me show it. And you take the audio and you upload it to Microsoft 365 into Word and you search for Tokyo. And next thing you know, you go, oh, here's what he said. The best restaurant in Tokyo and the best hotel to stay at are these two. And you're like, oh my gosh. And your boss just gives you a raise. So that's why we do this kind of stuff. And that's why, you know, I, as a tech person, listen to other people and other stuff because I'm always looking for cool new tips. I don't know it all. And it, again, it's not something you might use today, but you never know. And that's, it's like one of these things, it's just building that reference. Like this is, as the older I get, I wonder like, what is my value as a human or as a person or as a tech reporter or as a parent or as a friend? It's like, it's really just, you build up kind of layers of things. And so as a parent, you know, when I see a new parent, I'm like, ah, I remember those days. Like, and you know, and you give them a little bit of advice on something or whatever. Or as an employee, you know, you've been there for a long time and, you know, a new person comes on board and you're like, okay, let me show you the ropes here. So if everyone was fresh and new and, you know, clean to something, it would be a bad world because we need people that bring perspective to things. And that's why, you know, I get it. When you're little and your grandpa starts going off about something, you're like, oh, come on, grandpa. I know how to do it better on my phone with an app. And just hear them out because, you know, things have changed, but a lot of it, you know, they say history repeats itself. I mean, you just have to just be open to that perspective around you, right? Just be open to it because you never know when you're going to get a little nugget that might really help you in the future. All right, so to answer your question, Kiki, that was a very long roundabout way. You don't need Microsoft Office for free after I just said how great it is. I think you need Google Docs. You can always subscribe to Microsoft Office later if you actually need it, but Google Docs will do just what you need. Go to docs.google.com. It's what I use for 99% of what I do on a daily basis. It works phenomenally. It's free. And it just does what you need. And you'll be able to make your resume. You'll be able to make documents, spreadsheets, slide presentations, whatever you need, you'll be able to do it there. And if you need Microsoft Office as you go along, if there's a feature that Docs doesn't have that you need, then you can go ahead and when you've got your feet on the ground, maybe subscribe for $7 a month to Office 365 and go that route. All right, good question. Very long-winded answer, but I hope that I made some sense there. Speaking of Microsoft, let's just make this the Microsoft podcast. Microsoft is going to reveal the next generation of Windows on... Should I do my drum roll? Let's do the drum roll, please. Hold on. How do I get my drum roll again? Hold on. Oh, this is a really, really great podcast, Rich. Oh, you're just so on top of things here. Let's start this over. Let's see, where is my drum roll? Okay, it is ready. It is right about, drum roll, please. June 24th, Microsoft will reveal the next generation of Windows. Wow. You know, my friend Bald Brian does the sound effects for the Adam Carolla show. He would be so embarrassed. I know he doesn't listen to this podcast because he's a good friend and they don't do that. I always had this idea that you just mention a bunch of random people in your podcast every week and then like clearly like you would know if they're listening because they'd be like, oh, I heard you mention me, but that never happens. But anyway, so he does the audio for the Adam Carolla show and the reason why he's had his job for so long there is because he's so quick-witted and he's so fast. What you just saw is the 100% opposite of that. It's just like, Rich, it took you 15 minutes to get a drop, as they call them, I think he calls them, a drop. Anyway. So Microsoft detailing the next generation of Windows, the event's happening on June 24th, probably going to be virtual, I think, as everything has been, but they'll have CEO Satya Nadella is going to be there, and then Chief Product Officer Panos Panay, who I have met. He came to the KTLA studios when the first Surface launched to do a personal one-on-one with me. which, like I've said in the podcast before, he'd never do that now. I mean, this guy went from, you know, I mean, he was big back then. He was like the main designer, but now he's like chief product officer. And he's like big time because Microsoft has had a lot of success with their Surface lineup. And he has been kind of the guiding force for that. So these are two big names. And so what do those two big names tell us? That this is going to be focused on software, but also how it works with their hardware, because the hardware side of things with these big tech companies has become just as important. I mean, obviously we know with Apple, but Microsoft, yes, same thing. I mean, they're, you know, they've had a lot of success with Windows, but a lot of their success has been integrations with things. You know, how does Office work with their laptops, or how does Office work across a lot of different devices, right? How does it work with Samsung devices? And of course, how do they optimize their software and services to work on their stuff, but everyone's stuff too? So the fact that they're both going to be there tells me a lot about the next generation of Windows. They did not see a lot of success with their little dual screen devices, but that doesn't mean that those are going away. So maybe they'll have a 2.0 or something, or a new approach to those devices, because I think there's one thing that's pretty clear in our world is that more screens are happening. We're not getting less screens. We're getting more screens. Screens are everywhere. And Microsoft doesn't want to miss the boat. You know, when screens come to everything, right? Don't forget, you know, right now we've got all these little smart speakers and, you know, they're getting screens. TVs are getting screens. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. No, all these little smart devices, the first step was to connect them to the internet. The next step is to give them a screen. And, you know, we've seen this with, you know, a lot of little things like refrigerators, appliances, they're all getting screens, grills, everything's getting a screen. And Microsoft does not want to miss the boat on running their software on these screens. So anyway, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, June 24th. Oh, why do you have to do this to me, Microsoft? 8 a.m. Pacific. You're in Seattle. Why would you do 8 a.m.? Why couldn't you just split the difference and do, like, you know, what's a nice time on the East Coast and West Coast, right? Maybe 11 a.m., 10 a.m. Pacific, which would be like, what, 1 p.m. Eastern? You know, I'm from New Jersey and I still can't get the time right. I don't know what it is. Why is it so tough for me to do this? The other thing that Microsoft said is that this Windows 10X, this operating system that they were making that was like a lot simpler and kind of like, you know, just like super easy and for dual screens, that apparently is not happening. I think what they're going to do is just make one operating system that works on various things. I think that's, you know, these operating systems get really, really complicated because it's kind of like Apple. They've got one thing going on with their desktop systems, like the, you know, the Mac OS, and then they've got iPad OS, but you've got people that are kind of like, okay, they're going between both, and it's really complicated to have like a totally different methodology of doing things on two devices that you use. So, and I know Microsoft tried, like, remember back in the day, like the Microsoft Windows phones, they were literally like a tiny version of Windows that ran on phones. And so then they came out with Windows Mobile, which was a totally completely, you know, different operating system with the tiles. But it goes to show that we have seen so many, you know, just variations of this stuff over the years. Like these companies are trying to figure it out in real time, and we're here for the ride, and it's not always easy. It's not always simple, but things are progressing. All right. Steve says my late model Samsung 4K Q90. Oh, good system. Wow, Steve. Nice TV. Is not yet making KTLA Plus available. Deep in its instruction manual, Samsung seems to suggest there's a manual way of downloading apps. I haven't tried any luck with that. Do you know a way of manually downloading the KTLA Plus app? I suspect Samsung and other TV makers are waiting for a little financial incentive to add more streaming apps. I don't think Roku lists everything. Thank you, Steve and Colton. Steve, you know, I don't know what operating system the Samsung smart TVs work on. I don't know if it's their own thing or what, but I know they have their own app store, but I'm not sure if it's Android based. I know the Sony's are. I don't know what the Samsung's use. I haven't tested these in ever, I don't think. But anyway, so to answer your question, so this is why I always recommend just skip the smart TV and just get a smart device. And if you've listened to this podcast, you've heard my reasoning for this. Okay, and I'll just go through it once again. So KTLA Plus, our app, is available on Apple TV, Roku, and Fire TV. And of course, as soon as we said that, everyone comes out of the woodwork saying, Rich, how come it's not on this platform? Rich, how come it's not on the Sony TVs? How come it's not on the Samsung TVs? How come it's not on Vizio? How come it's not on Chromecast? How come it's not on... It's like, yes, there are a million platforms out there to get your content on your TV. The reason I'm assuming our corporate folks decided on Roku, Apple, and Amazon is because those are the three largest platforms. And after that, yes, there's a whole long tail of other platforms, but it drops off a cliff pretty quickly. Like, yes, there's a lot of people using Chromecast and Android TV, but not as many as Roku. And not as many as Amazon. I mean, Amazon and Roku are just the two biggest out there. Apple TV, you know, you have to sort of have an app there. Everyone does. It's like, you know, it might not be as big as the other platforms, especially when you look at the iPhone. But it is kind of a standard platform and it's easy to develop for. And of course it does beautiful things. So I think that's another reason we're there. I don't know. I'm not part of that situation. I'm not like the developer of this app, but I would say that's kind of the reasoning. And that's why when people are like, oh, I like my Samsung Smart TV and it's just easy. The apps are integrated. Well, that's great until you run into an app that you want that they don't have. And a lot of this long tail of apps, and I would consider KTLA Plus to be one of those, they're not on all these random, you know, platforms because it'd just be too cost prohibitive to be on those. Yeah, ideally, you know, and if you're like an HBO Max, like, yes, you have like your entire business is streaming. So you have a lot of people that are trying to plan for this. But even HBO Max took a long time to get to every platform and they may still not be there. So my recommendation, get a Fire Stick, get a Roku and plug it into the back of the TV. You can get one for under $50. I would say that's the best way to go if you want the biggest selection of your apps, and not just the biggest selection, but also apps that are updated the most. You know, when you go through the big app developers, even if you're a Hulu or an HBO Max or a Disney Plus or a YouTube TV, you're going to update the apps that are on the biggest platforms first. You're going to update them with your newest features, your latest features, and your best features, because that's where a majority of your customers are. If you see that, you know, 10,000 people are streaming through an Android Shield TV, you're going to say, okay, that's great, and we love those customers, but, you know, we're going to get to that app when we can, because we've got to put our priorities and our energies in places that will affect the most people. So, Steve, I'm not just saying like go out and buy something, but again, it's an easy solution. And I think it's a better solution than what Samsung offers you on screen. And I know there's some ads on screen with Samsung. If you want to avoid those, you know, you can get an Apple TV that's really fancy. But I'm guessing you're not an Apple guy because it says sent from mail for Windows 10 and you've got a Samsung TV. So I'm guessing that maybe you're an Android / you know, non-Apple person, which is fine. And so maybe, you know, I personally think the Roku or the Fire TV are fantastic solutions for streaming if you want something that's inexpensive. I was using the Fire TV last night. I've got an old Fire Stick. I'm talking, it's like from 2019. The thing was fine. I mean, the only thing you'll notice with the older devices is that it takes a little bit longer to load the apps. Like on Apple TV, it's pretty fast. On the Roku Ultra, it's pretty fast. But like when you start getting into these lower end devices that are $25, $30, $40, it's just going to take a little bit longer to load your favorite apps. That's the main downside. As long as they're 4K, HDR, all this stuff, like they're going to be fine for the picture once it's playing. It doesn't take much to play the video. It's just a matter of like how long do these things take to load your favorite apps, right? The response time. That's really where you notice the difference. All right, let's talk about Amazon. Speaking of Amazon, everything just rolls into each other. Amazon Sidewalk is bubbling up once again. I did a story on this back in, I think it was like December. And, oh gosh, when was that? Let me see. I did the story on December 4th. I can't believe it's December 4th. Oh, this is cool because I have my computer connected. I can actually pipe in. Here's the story. Look at this. Using the Ring and Echo devices. Here's what I used. Here's what I said.
Network called Sidewalk.
It's powered by a portion of home internet connections, along with millions of Ring and Echo devices installed in homes across America. If you have one of these devices, you'll help power the network by default.
Okay, so anyway, so that's, I feel like now I feel like I'm really on the radio here because that's like kind of, you know, they play like little clips of like news.
In a recent email, Amazon says
I don't know, I just love it. Okay, so so what do you need to know about Sidewalk? So Sidewalk is Amazon's new, you know, it's basically a low power, low frequency network that will, long range, by the way, that is powered by Amazon devices like Echoes, a lot of Echoes, and then Ring devices, but not, the thing they left out was the doorbell, the video doorbell. So that's like the number one Ring device. That is not part of this network. So if you have one of those and that's your only Ring device, you don't have to worry about being part of the Sidewalk network. Now, if you have an Echo or you have some of the higher end Ring devices like the floodlights, those are part of the Echo network and the Sidewalk network. And I think they did that and they did all these things that are wired, right? So they have a constant connection to power and a constant connection to the internet. And so what these devices do is they take a little tiny bit of your bandwidth and they rebroadcast it out as part of this mesh network, which is a new network called the Sidewalk network. And I think this is brilliant. I think it's really smart. I think it's actually going to be very helpful in the future, but I know it's scary because it's using our internet. I don't think it's that scary. I think that Amazon did their homework. They figured out a way to use a tiny bit of your bandwidth. I think they said it's like under, let's see what they say, 500 megabytes a month. 500 megabytes a month. So you're not like, they're not using all your internet. They're not, okay, the number one headline I'm seeing everywhere is Amazon, evil Amazon is sharing your Wi-Fi with your neighbors. Bump, bump, bump. That is not true. You cannot just latch on to this Wi-Fi connection. You do not have, you can't go on your phone and say, oh, let me connect to the Sidewalk network because it's free and I'll just cancel my internet at home and I'll just use my neighbor's Wi-Fi. No, that's not how it works. What this is doing, okay, there's a couple things this is doing that's going to make your life actually a lot better. So let's say you have a Ring video doorbell, right? And you're setting it up for the first time. And this thing is, for some reason, you're just having trouble setting it up and it's not working. Well, maybe this device is sniffing around and it actually senses the Sidewalk network and it says, and then you call Ring tech support and they say, well, hold on, give me the serial number on that Ring device. And you say, well, here it is. And they go, okay, we see what the problem is. Because they can connect to it through the Sidewalk network. Now, I'm not saying that's possible today. I'm not even sure. But these are just ideas of how Amazon's going to use this, okay? And then they say, okay, we can flip this switch. Do you mind if we flip this switch for you and we'll get this working? And you say, yeah. And you say, okay. And they help guide you along and boom, now you're up and running. That's one scenario. Another scenario, you've got a Tile device. And Tile is kind of an early ally of the Sidewalk network. And the Tile, which generally has been limited in past years to just working off of random people's Bluetooth on their phones, now it can use this Sidewalk network to have connectivity no matter where it is, as long as the Sidewalk network is nearby. And so apparently the Sidewalk network does not need a lot of nodes for it to cover a wide swath of area. So if, you know, a couple people in your neighborhood leave this thing turned on, it could be a very powerful network. And yes, it's evil. It's Amazon. Oh my gosh. But when you lose your dog and you've got a Tile connected to it, you'll really appreciate the power of the Sidewalk network. Or when you let's say you lose power at your house and you're on vacation and your devices can still connect to the Sidewalk network to sort of keep them in a state that is sort of still protecting your house. You know, you may not have all the functionality, but you might not be able to stream video and stuff, but maybe they'll still have enough to just kind of keep alerts going or whatever. You'll be like, oh, that's kind of cool. So again, I think that we need to keep a critical eye when it comes to anything that big tech does, But I think that these stories are a little bit overblown sometimes, and it makes the average person just say, no, I will not do that. I'm not letting Amazon share my Wi-Fi with my neighbors. Well, that's not what's happening here. And when you think about what's happening and you think about how we can create a network that, you know, it may bring prices down from, you know, this network has the potential to compete with something like Verizon or AT&T or T-Mobile, because now you can empower a whole bunch of these new devices that may connect to the sidewalk network and have connectivity all the time to do little tiny things like, you know, check in on GPS or whatever. You know, maybe in the future it can even check email. Who knows? I'm just saying this network has a lot of potential to do a lot of cool things in the future. Why should we just immediately cut it off and say, no, I'm not going to be a part of that without any reasoning? I personally am leaving mine on. I'm leaving it on my gadgets. I have a couple of them here that will latch on. I'm happy to help this thing take off because, you know, when you look at something like, and I don't want to knock Apple again, but when you look at something like Apple's Find My Network, oh, it's pretty much turned on by default with every iPhone user in the world, which is, you know, they say nearly a billion devices. No one cried about that. No one said, oh, Apple's so evil for doing this. They said, oh my gosh, Apple is so cool that I can use these Find My, you know, tags to these AirTags to find my stuff all over the world now. That's great. But why don't we have some competition? And Amazon is building something that could potentially compete with Find My and give Apple a run for their money and, importantly, give us consumers a choice. And so now that Apple AirTags, yeah, $30 doesn't seem like a big deal, but now we may see these things come down to $5 because other people can tap into Sidewalk and make devices that are just as powerful, just as great. And, you know, now we have choice as consumers. So I think that's what you need to know about Sidewalk. It is your opportunity to turn it off if you like. You can opt out in the settings on the Ring app or on the Alexa app. Just go into your settings and look for Amazon Sidewalk. I guess I can give you the full, you know, whatever you want. What did I just do here? But if you look at, let's see, where is it? So the settings, it's Alexa on your iPhone or Android. Tap more, tap settings, tap account settings, tap Amazon Sidewalk, and then toggle off. On the Ring app, it's Ring, and then it's not exactly where you would think it would be. I have to look in my... I did it on a Facebook post, so you can, let's see here, where is it? Hold on, I gotta scroll down. Let's see, where is it? How do you opt out with a Ring device? It is Ring app, menu, which is the three bars at the top left, control center, and then Amazon Sidewalk. So there you have it. I mean, make your own decisions. I mean, I'm just one opinion, and I'm an optimist when it comes to tech, so my opinion may be not what you think, and that's fine. So I'm just giving you mine so you can understand why I'm staying on board with this thing unless Amazon proves me wrong. And if they do, then I will turn it off. But right now, I feel like I'm contributing to something that has potential to be pretty cool, pretty powerful, and pretty helpful for other people. And that's why I'm doing it. All right. So Richard, I did a story on how to avoid robocalls, and Richard put in his suggestion. The main point of the story, and I think I went through this last week, was that you download the app from your carrier, you install it on your phone, and you can stop the robocalls that way. But then some people, you know, got a lot of response, by the way. But Richard emailed in and said, I have a suggestion to help avoid robocalls. So here's what he did. He edited all of his contacts to a favorite same ringtone. When that ringtone is ringing, no problem answering these calls. It's a friendly call. For all other incoming calls, have a default ringtone that you know is for unknown callers that you can ignore. Let it go to voicemail. If someone needs to contact you, they can leave a message, and you can have your unanswered message saying, I do not answer any unknown numbers while I'm driving. I do not answer any unknown phone numbers or while I'm driving. Please leave a brief message if you wish me to call you back. He said it takes time to edit each contact, but it's worth it. And yeah, I mean, this is something that is an alternative to sort of all these apps. And it's kind of like, it's almost like a do not disturb. Like on my iPhone, you know, I have a feature called do not disturb. And, you know, you put your friends in there and your family. And while you're sleeping at night, if they need to call you or they need to get through, it will still ring. But for 99% of other people, if they're not on that starred list, or, you know, on Android, it's starred, on iPhone, it's favorites. If they're not on that list, it's not going to ring your phone. And so that's pretty useful. That's another way of doing it. You can just leave your phone on do not disturb all the time, but then, you know, just add your friends to your favorites list, and anyone on that list will be able to call you. Now, the only time that doesn't work is in a real emergency where it could be, you know, someone calling you that may not be calling from a number that's on your preferred list. And so in that case, there are provisions. Apple's thought of all this, so is Android. If someone calls you a couple times in like 15 minutes time period, it will still open, it will still ring your phone. So the first time they call, it won't ring. But, you know, if you're in an emergency, you know, call someone a couple times, right? You're trying to get a hold of them. And so you're trying to get their attention. And usually spammers don't call a whole bunch of times in a row. But so I think, Richard, your suggestion is a good one. It's one option, right? There's a lot of ways to do things with tech, and that's just one option. And I think that's it's a good one. It's a little bit of work, but you know, you gotta spend the time to get the return, right? All right, let's talk about this as our final story. United, I'm so excited about this. Bringing back supersonic speeds. They're buying 15 aircraft from a company called Boom Supersonic. And the cool thing about these supersonic planes is that not only do they look cool, even though they're an artist rendering, they will go twice the speed of your typical airliner. And so as for someone who flies from LA to New York a lot, I think this would be just so cool to go. It's like 2,500 miles by plane. So it's like usually anywhere between 4 and 6 hours. So just cut that in half. So to get to from LA to New York, New York to LA in 2 hours or maybe 3 hours would be groundbreaking. It'd be really, really cool. Now, apparently after I posted that, people said, well, they don't really use supersonics over the transcontinental because I guess the sonic boom is too much, but I don't really know. So, I mean, maybe they'll do this in the future, but these airliners are expected to run by 2029. It's going to be the first large commercial aircraft to be net zero carbon from day one. They're going to roll out in 2025, fly in 2026, and carry passengers by 2029. And so the sonic boom situation, all of the examples they gave of routes were all from, you know, places that were like international, right? And so let's see, what were the examples they gave? You know, Newark to London in 3.5 hours, Newark to Frankfurt, 4.5 hours, San Francisco to Tokyo in 6 hours. And of course, they showed how beautiful the interior space is on these things, and they look awesome. But again, this is not going to be cheap. This is not something that you and I will just be taking on a regular basis. Maybe you will. I don't know. Probably not me, because it's my dream to fly first class from coast to coast once in a while, which, you know, has happened in the past, but it's not my regular. And that's my ultimate dream, is to just be able to do that all the time. I had a friend who worked for a big company, and they got to fly first class to London. That was like the standard. Like, they flew, well, business class, I guess. And that's like my dream, because can you imagine just the creature comforts of lying flat? I got to do this once to Europe. I was working a job and they flew me business class. And it was just like, I got off that flight and I said, I could fly to Europe every day if I wanted to with the way I flew there, because you had a nice dinner, you watched a nice movie, and then, oh, you laid your seat flat and you went to bed and you slept in like a real bed basically over to Europe. And it was just unbelievable. But most of the time I'm on a plane, I'm in a cramped seat. You know, if I'm lucky, I'll get economy plus, which is amazing. You know, it's, but that's enough, but it would be nice to have that lie flat or that nice big seat anyway. But this one would be a lot more expensive. You know, you're talking, $5,000, $10,000 for a seat, perhaps. We don't know, because all this is brand new. And also we don't know if they'll be doing, you know, LA to New York, or if it'll be just international stuff. But anyway, I thought it was pretty cool, because supersonic flights, you know, they had them at some point with the Concorde, and then all of a sudden they took them away, and now it's like we're getting back to where we were, but in like a new high tech. Maybe the technology's gotten better. Who knows? But thank you, United, for doing that. Pretty cool, right? All right, let's see. Do we have anything else, or is it the end of the show? I think it is actually. that music means it is the end of the show. That's going to do it for this episode. If you'd like to submit a question for me to answer, go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/richontech. Hit the big blue send email button. If you don't want to do it that way, send hello@richontech.tv. Also, I'd love it if you would rate and review this podcast to help other people discover it. Go to ratethispodcast.com/richontech or just rate it inside your preferred app. You can find me on all social media. Is that the plural of social media? I don't know. @RichOnTech. And no matter where you live in the U.S., you can download the free KTLA Plus app on Apple TV, Fire TV, and Roku. Then scroll all the way down to the tech section and watch all of my TV segments on demand. If you're just listening to me on the podcast or just following me on social media, do yourself a favor and watch some of my TV segments because, you know, you'll get a better sense of who I am, what I'm all about, and my interesting sense of humor. There's always a little humor mixed into most of my segments. My name is Rich DeMuro. Thanks so much for listening. There are so many ways you can spend an hour of your time. I do appreciate you spending it with me. Stay safe. I will talk to you real soon.